Hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Paula V here. Thank you for joining us today. Today is just going to be so inspiring. I am so happy to share with you today my beautiful guest, Reverend Mary Lynn Clark. She is a spiritual minister, psychic artist, healer, author. We are going to be sharing today. We will be talking about her book, My Life's Experiences in the Proof of Psychic Phenomenon. This is going to be so amazing. A little bit about Mary before we jump in. She is the founder of the Inner Light Metaphysical Center since 1975, and she's raised in this philosophy. It was the only metaphysical center to be invited to be a member to the International Council of World Churches. She has done extensive study in this field under the late Dr. Enid Smith and Reverend Lillian D. Johnson. She studied extensively at Harmonia College in St. Petersburg, Florida, as well as in Chesterfield, Indiana. I first off want to give you a big welcome. Welcome, Mary Lynn, to the show.
Oh, thank you, Paula. Oh. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm so thrilled. Before we start discussing your book, would you like to share with the listeners a little bit of your history and what brought you to the path you're on today?
Well, I think it was at the time that when I was about 13 years old, I was being baptized as a Baptist, in which all my friends were Baptists, you know, so I thought I would be baptized too. So as I was submerged into the water at the time of the baptism, I heard a voice that says, "This is not for you." And when I came out of the water, and it kept repeating, "This is not for you." And I stood sort of dumbfounded. I really couldn't, I was oblivious what was going on around me. And so then after I left the church, of course, my mother and father were introduced to spiritualism, as is known as metaphysics today. And they never said anything or tried to push me into anything I didn't want to in the belief, because I went to many, many churches. Was never even satisfied at that age, so I did ask them. And when I did ask them, we went to the spiritualist church, and I was given a message from one of the mediums. And they said that you're going to do exactly the same thing that I'm doing, but on a larger scale. Well, even from that time, when I graduated high school, I was going to be a psychic artist. I went to college for a while. But that was the wrong thing. And so they moved to Florida, and then I went to college for spiritualism and had so many different experiences with my mother as a trance medium of being able to communicate with spirit and the loved ones and masters on the other side of life. So it was like I was spiritually directed by the forces on the other side of life, my guides and teachers, that I had a mission in life. So that is how I got started in it.
Oh.
So, Paula, I know you're interested in that. A lot of people are, you know.
Yes.
How did this start or how did that begin? So that's how it began.
Oh, thank you. And Mary Lynn, what prompted you to write your book?
Well, what prompted me is that we used to sit in circle, what we call meditation circle, and I kept getting, write a book. And so finally my cousin said to me, "Mary Lynn, why don't you write a book about all the experiences that you had in the proof of psychic phenomena?" Because psychic phenomena has gone by the wayside, by the way, unfortunately, is because people don't take the time. Everything is all computers today and all mechanical, and they don't take the time to sit for this beautiful part of our experiences. And so I thought, well, maybe I will, you know. And I thought, oh, gosh, I don't know if I can do this myself. Anyway, my cousin Laura, it wasn't for her that this book wouldn't have been introduced. And so I went back in all the archives that I've had when the experiences of all of these different phenomena that I have experienced. And so that's what promoted me to go ahead to write the book.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Here is a question I just have been dying to ask you. I'm so excited to hear more about this. What is psychic phenomenon? What is that? Please describe that for us.
Well, psychic phenomena is a development. You have mental mediumship and what you call physical mediumship. Well, physical mediumship has to do with that phenomena of what we call the physical part. Of course, the mental part is clairvoyance, clairaudience, etc. But the physical part is having to do with the development of your abilities as a medium to produce a phenomena. And this is what we call phenomena. So this is they were able to prove that continuity of life after death through the trance work of mediums that were developed in circles. And not all people can be mediums. There are healers and there are clairvoyant mediums and et cetera. And then, of course, there is the phenomena of having this ability to bring forth the spirit. And what we had talked about before is utilizing the orifices of the body in bringing forth this ability. And we have doctors on the other side of life that work with us in spirit that can create this type of phenomena. And so you've heard of direct voice, or you have heard the modern terminology of channeling.
Yes.
And so what you do is you step aside, and the spirit works through the body to create this channeling or this phenomena. And so there's different phases of it. And, of course, it would take your whole session to go into all of it. But we're just going to sort of skim the mind here.
Yes. So when someone is going to channel, do they actually request that and let that come through, or can it be that it just comes?
Well, some people, it's a natural phenomena. Now, my mother was a trance medium, and that was a natural phenomena with her. Now, there's a lot of us that have to work for it. And throughout the years, I have a dear friend of mine that did a physical phenomena, and it took him, quite a while to accomplish this. And so some people have it naturally, and others have to work for it. And the inspiration that you get is when you start out, you talk about inspiration, you know. Inspiration is, for instance, hunches and things like that. So when you begin to work into it and develop, you take it a little further. You take it by step, by step, by step. And it goes into your clairvoyance, and all of a sudden it'll go even deeper and deeper. And so, therefore, when you're channeling, and you'll find out that a lot of the metaphysical churches, spiritual churches, most of your mediums, if you will notice, that they are taken over by an entity that they have studied this, and in their process of learning and through the classes of them taking over, and they then in turn will give the message for that night or that day. And so it's like we step aside and let them come in and utilize the orifices of our body, our vocal cords, and et cetera, because we don't have any vocal cords, right,
yes,
on the other side of life. And so they have to utilize yours. That's almost like inspirational trance. Now, some have, and there's different types of it. And some people, like myself, I have what they call inspirational trance. And when I go to give a lecture, they'll come through, but I know what is being said, but I have no control. And it's like, of course, I've developed for it, and I was learned to protect myself, so that the undesirables would not come in. And so it's a process that we have to go through in our meditations to reach that stage.
Yes. Oh, and I'm happy with what you just mentioned, because I was thinking, asking myself, when this is coming through, you've stepped aside, but do you know what's being said? So really, you do, you hear it, but it's like you're in the other room, would you say?
Well, now there's different, like I said, you're in different states of trance.
Mm-hmm.
Inspirational trance is more of when they take over, you know what's being said, but you have no control over it. Now, if you were going into a deeper state of trance, that is where they, the spirit of the medium, of course, the medium not itself, it's spirit, leaves the body totally, and they are not aware of what is being said by the teachers from the other side of life. See, there's different stages of it.
Yes. Oh.
And so that we, when we teach trance in our meditation classes, which some of them have disabilities, we have to teach them the different phases of trance that they will, you know, that they will go into according to how they develop.
Yes. Oh, Mary Lynn, this is so fascinating. I love this. It's so fascinating. We do have to pop out for a break, everyone. But
okay.
Mary Lynn and I will be right back. Thank you, Mary Lynn.
All right, then. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Paula V here with Reverend Mary Lynn Clark. Oh, this is just a fantastic show. If you're just joining us, Mary is the author of the amazing book, My Life's Experiences in the Proof of Psychic Phenomenon. And we were just talking about the book and psychic phenomenon. Mary Lynn, I would love to ask you now, because the front of the book is so fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Please share with us who this is on the cover and how this came about.
Right. The picture that you'll see on the front cover was taken by Robert Chaney, and he was the co-founder of Astera. Well, before he went into Astera, he was a spirit photographer. And what he would do, he would you would sit in a semi-dark room in front of a screen, and you'll see my mother is sitting in front of this screen. And when he takes these pictures, there are the old cameras that way back, you know, in the westerns that you see that you have to cover the head, you know, with a camera, and then they click it. Well, he was able, when he was so clairvoyant, that he was able, when he looked through the camera and he put the plate into the camera, that he could see this ectoplasm he talked about forming over their heads. And he could see these spirit pictures forming over these heads of these of my mother. And then he would snap the picture, and he would put the plate would be in the camera. He would develop that, and that's what would take place of these spirit faces. And we did recognize one of them was my mother's sister, and another was a dear friend of ours, and then, of course, the other couple are our physicians, our doctors that work with us on the other side of life. Well, I come to find out that when I did talk to the coordinators of Astera, they said that he was so good, then this is a rarity, this picture. And he said that he had taken a picture of a man, and this very famous Indian happened to decompose onto this plate, and they have it in the Library of Congress in Washington on a wall. It's up the pictures there on the wall, and so this phenomena—that's what we call another phenomena. And now they do it, they try to do it with infrared cameras now.
Mm-hmm.
But people can still develop it if they choose to do, but it's not something that comes overnight. It takes years of training to get this. And so, unfortunately, there's not many people that I know of that has this phenomenon.
Wow.
And this was a tremendous gift that he had, and he was able, and I have this picture and I won't let it loose.
Yes, it's amazing. That is just so fascinating. I love it. And Mary Lynn, I would love to have you describe to us what is the meaning of materialization. That is a term I have heard previously.
Well, materialization is a, we all have it in our bodies, but it's like a form of protoplasm. So if you would look up the protoplasm, you would see what it consists of. We all have that. And when we can develop what we call a phenomena, physicians and doctors on the other side of life can utilize that. And again, you have to go into learning about trance work. And they're able to draw, we all have this, from the solar plexus and the orifices of the body. It's like a white substance, and it's sort of rent, a sort of a wet. It's almost, and there, I got to tell you this, when people were sitting for this phenomena, there would people in that circle that did not believe in it, and they would cut this ectoplasm with a scissor. And by doing so, they injured the medium because that is a part of the mediums. You see what I mean? And so there would be damage in some part of the body that these people had done. So this ectoplasm that comes out, these spirits can form in this ectoplasm as a form that they had when they were on the Earth planet. Or whatever, whatever era that they were from.
Yes.
And they would come in and they would speak to you. But the medium had to sit in a cabinet. And what happened is the ectoplasm would be formed in the cabinet. It was like it would consolidate it. And when the spirit would come out of the cabinet, now I wanted, this is the part that I'm going to tell you that I knew that this was a demonstration, is because the spirit came out, and it was one of my teachers on the other side of life, and he was a very, very strong soul. And he said to me, "Mary Lynn," he said, "I'm going to do something." And he says, "And I don't want you to get excited about this." And he says, "It's going to be a demonstration." And when he came out, he talked to me, of course, and gave me a lot of words of wisdom. All of a sudden, he disintegrated right down to the ground. And you could see the ectoplasm going back into the cabinet of the solar plexus of the medium that was sitting in the cabinet. Now, of course, everybody was just awe about this, you know. But it can be very, very dangerous if people aren't. That's why that I understand there's a medium from England that has materialization, and when people go in there, they are totally screened. They're not even allowed to take their cell phones in there. They have to put everything in a bag before they go into those cabins, because there have been people that have actually tried to disprove it. And this was happened to the medium that I knew, and he, what happened is a few months later, they thought he was a phony, let's say.
Yes.
And they went, and then it's in the red light. It's in darkness, but you have a red light on, so you can actually see the formation and see the cabinet. They turned a flashlight on this, and it disintegrated, and the ectoplasm snapped back into the solar plexus, and he went unconscious. And they had an awful time bringing his spirit back into the body.
Oh.
He almost died.
Oh.
And so he actually crawled out of the seance room. And he never, never after that had another a circle of
yes.
that, because it's too dangerous. So you have to be so, so careful.
So,
but I saw this with my own eyes, and
yeah.
it was something to behold.
Basically, it's, you know, so amazing, and you know, can be such a beautiful thing, but we need to treat it with respect and
oh, yes.
take it seriously.
Yes, you
yes.
sure do.
Oh, gosh.
And that's why I tell my students that hopefully we can get ectoplasm and, you know, materialization. We call it materialization. Mm-hmm. I said you can look it up on the, you know, dictionary, whatever.
Mary Lynn, share with the listeners a bit about your teaching and training and how they would contact you to sign up for that as well as order your book.
Yes, I have. I'm in Ellington, Florida, but I am the pastor of the Cosmic Center of Light, of Spiritual Light in Sarasota. And so they can contact me either there or at my house. And the center is on Ridgewood Meadow Boulevard, and that's in Sarasota. But then I have my own, you know, telephone here at the house that they can contact me here if they wish.
Great, great. And we do have your contact information on the show page, and also anyone can contact me and I can forward them as well. This is all so fascinating, Mary Lynn. I'm just taken back. It's absolutely amazing. Something that I'm really thrilled about. We have about 3 minutes left of the show. That you mentioned there are doctors that have passed away on the other side that want to come in and help us.
Right.
That is really beautiful.
Well, it is. And actually, their physician, when I'm a psychic artist, and when I do pictures for people, sometimes these teachers will come in, but they'll have like a different clothing. So they can still be teachers and doctors. They were at one time, like your physical doctors on the other side of spirit helpers, were actually originally doctors while they were either on the planet or in a past lifetime. So they can come through. That's why they come through in different dress formation when I do these drawings. And the teachers, the philosophy teachers, the same thing. They were either professors or philosopher teachers while they were living in whatever era that they lived in at the time. My Dr. Raymond was in the, I believe, in the 18th century somehow. And he was introduced to me through my mother, who was a trans medium. And so these different teachings, you learn about this. In our classes, we teach the basics of being able to touch in to their guides and teachers and who they are, and how they can communicate with these beautiful souls on the other side of life. And that's how they develop their abilities to be able to go forward.
Oh, I love it. What last words would you like to share, Mary Lynn, with the listeners before we say goodbye today?
Well, you know, I'm just, another reason why I so wrote this book is to try to show people, and that it's an eye-opener for them, you know, to learn beyond the old traditional ways and going into learning more spirituality about themselves and about their training and what the abilities that they already possess. And we always say, judge ye not, east ye be judged, you know. We can't ridicule everything that we hear about all religions or whatever it is. But in our philosophy, we like to teach you to go beyond normal vision and go into that part of you that is already there, but you have to learn to bring it out yourself. You know,
yes.
Get into developing classes.
Yes.
Learn it. Learn this this way of life, because it will change your life totally, both mentally, physically, and spiritually. And you will find you will have a complete turnaround when you begin to open yourselves up into the I Am.
Oh, Mary Lynn, thank you so much. This has been such a great show. I am very honored and blessed to have had you with us today. Just thank you so much.
I'm happy to be there. And Paula, that you give me that opportunity to share all these wonderful things that I have experienced, and knowing that it is definitely the proof of psychic phenomena.
Oh, thank you, Mary Lynn. And thank you to our listeners out there. Love, hugs, and blessings to everyone.
Thank you. Love and light to everyone.
Everyone, this is Paula Vale, founder of Wellness Inspired and host of the Why Am I So Happy show on BBS Radio. My passion is sharing the beautiful healing modality of Reiki with the world. I help you reach a new level of self-awareness and create a more confident and empowered version of yourself. Learn how Reiki will change your life. Go to wellnessinspired.com. When you live a life with love and compassion, you allow your blessings to manifest. Check out my Reiki training and Reiki practitioner mentoring program, and look for my soon-to-be-released ebook, Why Am I So Happy? At wellnessinspired.com and the paulavnetwork.com. Big hugs to everyone. Paula V. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Why Am I So Happy? Paula V here. So happy to have all of you with us again today. I am so grateful. My guest today is just going to be a lot of fun. She's going to be informative and just share some information and chat, something so many of us really don't think about, I believe. I'm really excited for this show. I am sharing with you today Lindsay Agnew. Lindsay is the founder and owner of Wellbeaming LLC, a company devoted to improving the health and wellness of others through a deeper understanding of how the mind-body connection influences everything from how we eat to how we dress and our overall lifestyle. How fun, how fun. I know you've always had a passion for health and fashion. I want to start with a big welcome, Lindsay. Thank you for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you. How fun. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what brought you to the path you're on right now.
Yeah, so I think, you said, I've always had an interest in health and fashion. I grew up in a small town and on 6 acres, and my great-grandmother had the most extraordinary costume jewelry collection, and I think that that's where kind of my fashion love started. I used to, walk around my parents' property just covered in costume jewelry and praying that I would grow more arms so I could wear more bracelets. And to some degree, I still wish that today. But as I got older, and I didn't grow up eating necessarily the most nutritious diet. And as I got older, I just started to learn more. And when I was about 24, I moved to Southern California, and I worked in entertainment, and I worked on a weight loss show, ABC's Extreme Weight Loss. And the first couple weeks of that show, people were writing in their stories about their struggle to achieve good health and happiness. And it was kind of one of those moments where I was, I'm the only person in the world really reading these stories, and I just don't believe in coincidences.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, okay, this is the universe saying, Lindsay, listen up. And it really changed my life. So, because I really believe if we don't have our health, we don't have anything, and health and happiness go hand in hand. So I got my health coaching certification, and, kind of just through that process, I really started to learn about the mind-body connection and how it influenced the way that we eat, the way that we dress,
And I just think it's important to, when you start to, those, you know, you get interested in things, you just need to follow it. And so hence is I created my own company, and I just have the intention to try to help people understand, you know, the energy that they hold, how it's affecting their lives, and that we all deserve to feel our very best, and what can we do to get there.
Yes, yes. Oh, I love it. I love it. Let's talk a little bit about the fashion end of our lives and what that does for us. I'm just so intrigued with, you know, I know your services, and I'm going to have you share that, is helping others with fashion and what that means for them. So tell me, does how we dress really matter? Does it make a difference for us?
Well, I think that there's millions of ways that you could answer this question, but the short answer is yes. And the most important reason is because it's just another way to feel good. It is something that is in your control that you can do for yourself daily to help yourself feel better. You know, there's so many things that are out of our control, and so I think it's important to pinpoint the things that are in our control. And putting on a cute outfit that celebrates you and your body and what you love, like what's more powerful than that?
Yes. So
I mean,
even
like when people put on a costume at Halloween,
yes,
you know, you can make yourself feel like you're a superhero.
Yes.
So I think that how we dress really does have a powerful effect on our mood, either for better or for worse.
Would you say it affects our mood and our happiness, as well as, is it also an expression of how you feel?
Oh, absolutely. I, you know, through my personal experience too, I've really come to learn that our bodies, or how we dress, is a reflection of how we feel about our bodies. And sometimes how we feel about our body is a reflection of just how we feel about ourselves. So I think that there's a huge interconnection between the both of them.
Oh, I love that. I love that. What role does the mind-body connection play on how we dress? And so tell us more of what that means.
Yeah. So I really like to kind of speak through personal experience with how I kind of started to learn more about this. And, you know, for about 2 decades, I really struggled with my body image. You know, I could go on forever about choosing to believe limiting beliefs, but it's something that I really believed, that my body wasn't enough as it was. And like I said previously, you know, I've really learned that when you change your mind, your body will follow. And so there's certain things that I was doing to keep myself feeling small. So whenever, I guess going backtracking a little bit, you know, whenever I go through like a stressful period in my life, oftentimes I gain weight. Instead of honoring that I'm feeling stressed or I'm feeling anxious, I'm feeling overwhelmed, I can kind of just try to avoid it, and I'll reach for cookies as a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And this behavior really can make me feel shameful, or it did in the past. So then when I went to go get dressed, I wouldn't want to show off my body. You know, I would kind of succumb to that limiting belief that because I gained weight, I wasn't good enough, or I didn't deserve to dress the way that I wanted to, or I shouldn't wear something too tight. I mean, just all those nasty little thoughts, and it's a really hard cycle to break. But what I do when I'm in those moments, I just try to witness it. I'm like, okay, hi, nasty little thought. Welcome back. And it's in those moments that I consciously choose that I'm not going to feel small. I'm going to wear an outfit that is fitted, that are pieces in my wardrobe that I love the most. And it's almost like taking that insecurity and punching it in the face and saying, I deserve better. I deserve to celebrate my body. I deserve to wear what I love to wear. And then I think energetically it starts to shift over time. and you start to believe more that you are worth more however you are, and you believe less that your weight determines your worth or the brands that you have determine your worth.
Oh, I love that, Lindsay, because yes, that's so true. We can make a choice when a thought comes to us. Mm-hmm. I'm going to accept this and take this in, or I'm going to say, no, that is not me. Mm-hmm. I don't deserve that, or I will not hold that. I am this, and put that out there. And what a huge effect that can make, can't it?
It can make a huge effect, have a huge effect. And I've really been trying to focus a lot too on just my beliefs and becoming aware of them. I mean, the other day I wrote down all the limiting beliefs that I have about myself and just realized, oh, I chose, nobody told this to me. Nobody said you're not smart enough or you can't be on a radio show, or nobody said that to me. It's like I've chosen to believe that, and I can choose to believe differently too. And I think the first step in all of that is just becoming aware of, is just becoming aware, witnessing and being present of, like you said, the energy that you're holding. And I really like affirmations. So, and I follow Gabby Bernstein. She's, you know, really been a wonderful teacher for me. And, you know, always saying, like, I choose to see this insecurity with love. You know, I choose to see this in a different way. You know, it's really been helpful for me to overcome some limiting beliefs, or just some beliefs that aren't serving the greater good for myself and those people around me.
Yes, yes. Oh, I absolutely love it. You are just an awesome inspiration, Lindsay.
Well, so are you.
Thank you. Thank you. I would love, before we go into break, please share your website information with the listeners, how they could contact you and look into your services.
Mm-hmm. So my website is wellbeaming.com. You can also reach me through Facebook at wellbeaming, or on Instagram, it's well.beaming. So you have a few options.
I love it. I love it. Well, everyone, we are going to take a quick break, but Lindsay and I will be right back. Oh, I just love this, Lindsay. Thank you so much, honey.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Paula V here with Lindsay Agnew. She is the founder and owner of Well Beaming. We're having so much fun chatting about self-empowerment, self-love, and how she helps others with how they dress, what that means, and what that does for them. I just love this topic, Lindsay. I would love to have you share with us a bit more about, you know, how does what we wear help us? What does that do for us and help us with our expression, our self-love? Share a little more information on that, if you would, Lindsay.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like I was saying kind of earlier, what you wear can either make you feel very empowered or feel really small. And like I was also saying, you know, it's important to focus on what you can control in those moments where you are maybe feeling kind of small. So if you're feeling insecure about what you look like, or even if you have a test coming up or you have a big presentation, you know, wearing something that makes you feel very confident is kind of like saying to that insecurity, like, I'm not going to accept you. So even, for example, right now, you know, while I'm on, you know, I'm calling in from my home, and it would have been very easy to stay in my pajamas, and, you know, I was a little nervous, but instead, you know, I put on my favorite pair of jeans, I put on a nice top, just so I felt energetically more confident, you know, so that would come through, you know, when I'm speaking to you, to the viewers, or I know a lot of people give presentations at work, or if people are you're an attorney, you know, going into a courtroom or going into a presentation, wearing your favorite suit, or your favorite dress that just makes you feel smart and powerful and grounded and confident in who you are, you know, that just comes through. I don't think we can fake our energy. It's like when someone tries to tell you, oh, no, I'm fine, but you can really tell they're hurting, you know?
Yes.
So I think that how you dress is a reflection of that. And if you are hurting, putting on a good outfit is at least one step in to trying to make yourself feel better, telling or at least showing yourself that you deserve to feel good.
Yeah, so our what we wear can make a statement, and it can most importantly affect how we feel about ourselves. It's like, oh, I just get excited every morning. Oh, what should I wear today? You know, and what should I pick? But what we put on, I would think that even if I don't feel as upbeat as I can, if I put something on that I really do feel good in, mm-hmm. You're correct. I like that. That will affect us in our mood and how we go about the day. Don't mm-hmm. you think?
Yeah. I mean, of course, absolutely. And I think also, too, it's just another way to have fun.
Yes. Love it.
You know, and I think one thing, too, that I've noticed, and especially with, you know, I'm in my, you know, mid to late 20s, and a lot of people, you know, we really have this huge influence of social media. And it's really, really easy to get caught up in, you know, you look at other fashion bloggers or, you know, you look at the media and you see, oh, you know, they have this brand or they have that stuff, you know, they're boho. I guess that's what's good. No, you know, it can be very overwhelming and kind of take the fun out of fashion. So I think too, becoming aware of that and just sort of realizing it's not about wearing a certain style or having a certain brand or being a certain size. It's just about having fun, mm-hmm. saying, I really, really like this. This aligns with who I am, and I'm going to wear it. And I think I think life should be very fun, or at least that's how I want my life to be. And so any outlet I can use to have fun, why not do it?
Yes.
And so I think a really big thing, you know, I would love to share a couple tips on, you know, what I recommend people do, you know, as they, you know, they realize it is important how you dress, not because it's reflective of your self-worth, but because it's fun and you deserve to feel good. So, you know, one of the very first things that I always, always, always tell people when you are shopping is, well, or online or going to buy something new, you know, first, don't listen to the noise, don't listen to the trends, don't any of that, and just say when you're in a store or you're online, do I like this or do I love this? Okay, I love this. So that's what you're going to get. That's what you should buy. Less like, more love, you know, and I think that carries on to all parts of our lives. You know, we should focus more on the things we love, not the things that are maybe good enough. And certainly your wardrobe is one place for that. So whenever I like the in-store experience, I like to go shopping in the store. So whenever I'm buying something, I'm like, okay, do I love this?
Yes.
No? Okay, then I don't really need it. But if I absolutely love it, then yep, that's worth me spending money on.
Oh, I love that, Lindsay. And I have to tell you, it brings back a memory. When I was in high school, you know, there's so much peer pressure. It was, well, this is the jeans that are in style. This is the mm-hmm. boots that are hot you should have. And mm-hmm. I personally was, no. I love my dresses. I wore dresses mm-hmm. almost every day. I loved wearing a dress, and I would get teased a little bit, but mm-hmm. I loved it, and I just went, I'm going to wear what I love, and I'm so happy I made that choice. But, you know, that is a great example. We can be told, wear this, it's the in thing, or, you know, this mm-hmm. or that. But if you don't like it, you know, you're not going to feel good in it, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. It kind of goes back to that, what I was saying, you can't fake your energy. You know, even if you're wearing something that you think, if you're dressing for other people, it's not going to come off as authentic. But if you're wearing, you know, dresses that you love, or even if you're wearing the most off-the-wall, non-mainstream thing, good for you. If you want to show up, I think if you want to show up in a Batman costume every day, then just go for it. You know, I think that people deserve to feel how they want to feel and as good as they can. So, I mean, good for you at an early age understanding that dresses make you feel the best. And whether other people agree or not, I mean, that's their issue. That's not yours. Like,
yes,
you just do what you love, and you're doing the right thing for yourself.
Yes.
And I think that's another big part of fashion, too. And I just, something that I like to teach my clients is learning to trust themselves by saying, oh, this is, I love this. So, okay, I'm just going to go with my gut and just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And just starting to believe that you're doing the right things for yourself, you know?
Yeah. So would you recommend to men and women that are wanting to really connect with and understand what they like wearing and what they feel good wearing, do they look at things like colors they prefer? Do they look at what they feel is most comfortable or what they feel is good for certain situations, such as, let's say, a job interview? What kind of tips do you give to people in that way?
You know, I think, to be honest, I just think don't overthink it. You know, we know, a good rule of thumb that I give people is if you have to talk yourself into it, you don't want it. Mm-hmm. You have to talk yourself out of it, typically you want it. So that's just kind of a good rule of thumb when you're over-processing, well, is this cute, is this not cute?
Mm-hmm.
You know if you like it. And, I mean, if it happens to be comfortable too, that's a bonus. Like, I can't tell you what you place value on,
mm-hmm,
in terms of apparel. You know, for me, I don't have, comfort isn't huge on my priority list. It's just not. But for other people, it has to be really comfortable. So that I leave up to you, or I leave up to the client. You know, what do you place value on? And maybe think about it. What are your top three things I like? Bold colors, comfort, and versatility. Okay, cool. So then now you know what you're looking for and you can go find that.
Yes. Oh, I love it. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, would you say, we just have a couple moments left of the show, about 3 more minutes. Give us a bit of a, you know, in your last few moments, a breakdown of what key elements then, which, like you just discussed, what they like, what they feel good. What last words would you like to share with the listeners on that point?
Yeah, I think my last kind of couple little tips, too, on what you wear is, you know, there's one kind of basic foundation that if you do this, you'll always look put together, and that's kind of pairing things in threes. Do you need to do this every day? No, but if you have an interview or you just want to feel really, really good when you go out the door, awesome. And it's always having like a base, like a shirt and then a jacket and a belt, or a jacket, a sweater and a scarf, a button down shirt, a blazer and a tie. Things in threes always look the most put together. So if you're a female and you're like, I don't know what to wear, I want to look better, just grab, you know, a sweater that you love, a t-shirt that you love, and a cute scarf, and you'll look put together. And that's really quick and really simple, and it always works. I think another good tip that always works, I always think that, you know, I love jeans. I think we all love jeans. They're such a good staple, and I feel like jeans nowadays, like we have so many options that it can get kind of overwhelming, like, oh, should I go with colored jeans? Do I go with ripped jeans? Do I go with stretchy jeans? You know, there's so many different ways to go, but I think just finding a really nice pair of, like, darker denim is always a really, really good way to go. You know, it makes colors stand out more. It looks cleaner. It looks more expensive. It's more flattering to everybody's figure. So finding a really good pair of you know, darker denim jeans, I think, is something that everybody should have in their closet. I think having a really nice pair of, you know, black boots, brown boots, you know, for women, like a nude pair of heels, a black pair of heels. Like, I think it's just, too, about finding really good basics, good quality basics that you can, no matter the occasion, you can always grab them, and you can go. You don't have to overthink it. It's kind of like what I was saying earlier, you know, you don't want to overthink what you're wearing. It's, you know, just, you want it to be sort of effortless. And I think another thing that I do also whenever I'm at a store, whenever I find something new or I'm like, oh, wow, I really love this, I'll think to myself, okay, what are three ways that I can wear this with what I already own? I like to get the most out of my wardrobe. I like to build upon what I already have. And if I can't think of three ways to wear a certain article of clothing, then I'm like, well, my chances of wearing it is probably not as high. Because I like versatility. I like to be able to mix and match. I don't like to be limited to getting this really, really unique piece and only ever being able to wear it just this one particular way.
Yeah.
So, and I think, too, also for women especially, is investing more in jewelry. Like a scarf, a belt, earrings, necklaces, that you can make 100 different looks out of jeans and a t-shirt. You really can. They can be, you know, more expensive or more inexpensive too. You know, you can find really cool jewelry at Nordstrom Rack or Zara or Forever 21. I mean, there's really cool jewelry out there that you don't have to break the bank for, or scarves, or, you know, and it's just another different way, because we all put on jewelry different. So it's another way to just be a little bit more unique, reflect who you are a little bit more, have more fun with what you wear and just throughout your day. It's just, you know, to feel even better. I mean, anything we can do to make ourselves feel good and or just to have fun, I mean, I think it triples itself in value back to you.
Oh, Lindsay, you have been so fantastic. I just have to say thank you. This has been so great. I'm sorry we have to say goodbye, everyone. The time flew by. But Lindsay, thank you so much, and thank you to our listeners out there. Everybody have an awesome day.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.